welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Brad.
What's up?
Nothing much. So we are back. What am I saying, nothing much? There's a lot going on.
There's a lot of things happening right now, actually.
So first off, just to quell any sort of confusion or bitching and complaining, the background is all blue.
I don't know who did complain about this.
I don't want to be conservative on this show. Make me blue. So everybody's liberal, guys. We'll put all roses in the background if you want next week to make you feel good. No, just so people don't think like, yes, it's called Look Forward. Yes, it's, you know, the blue versus red Rock'em Sock'em Robots. But no. Neither one of us is actually conservative.
Shouldn't I actually have a wreath of roses around my profile window? Perhaps a crown sitting at the top?
You know what? Don't make me do it. don't tell me. I will fucking add that shit. But yeah, so we're back. So let's jump right into it. By the way, people who are watching on YouTube, if it was not clear last week, the show ends after an hour or so because we have an extra hour. I think last week it was actually only 40 minutes, but we have an extra hour for premium members. So if you sign up, if you go to lookforwardshow.com/premium, you can sign up. It's $5 a month or $50 for the full year. You get the entire show every week. Okay.
And a lot more.
There's a bunch of premium shows. You'll hear more about that at the end of this episode. In the audio version, at least. So, okay, let's jump right into it. January 6th insurrectionists say that they participated in planning meetings with members of Congress and White House staff. Yowzer. Okay, so this is a big story that the Rolling Stone broke this week. However, you have to pay for Rolling Stone for this particular article, so that's not the one that's linked on the article or on the docket. Because I'm not paying for Rolling Stone, though I think they have great articles. So the article I did find, though, which largely talks about it, is from Variety. And basically, it is a pretty bombshell report, according to Variety, that Representative Paul Gosar, a.k.a. a guy who all of his family hates openly, even told some of these insurrectionists who they met with that there would be, quote, blanket pardons, which is
for unrelated crimes, by the way, which is hilarious, which, you know, then automatically suggests the question that obviously he at least was coordinating with the president, because obviously Paul Gosar doesn't have the ability to issue pardons to anybody for federal crimes. By the way, move to refer to Paul Gosar as Gosar the Gosarian from now on.
Yeah, that's fine. That feels fair to me. That's how he's referred to at Thanksgiving, I'm sure. If he's even allowed. There's no way they have Thanksgiving dinner, right? Like him and his siblings? There's no way.
I don't think after all of his other siblings like literally ran campaign ads for his opponent trashing him multiple times. There's a lot of hugs and kisses at Christmas time, Thanksgiving.
I love that they're like, our brother is a piece of shit. Don't vote for that guy. It's like, wow. And people are like, no, I'm going to still vote for him. Really? The guy's own family thinks he's an asshole.
Like his five siblings are like, this guy sucks. Like, he's our brother. And, like, we're telling you, like, do not vote for this man. Like, he's fucking terrible.
I don't know that there is a better bit of information to tell me not to vote for someone than someone's own direct family members being like, this guy fucking sucks.
Here's my question. Okay. If he's such a piece of shit as a congressperson that his family's willing to drop the dime on him on campaign ads for his opponent, what did he do to them?
How terrible of a brother is he? Good Lord.
Like what skeletons are in that closet that, like, are we going to find that he'd, like, embezzled money from his fucking siblings, or that he, like, let their mom die on, like, her cancer bed or something? I don't know. Something crazy.
He's like, yeah, just rub hydrochloroquine on it. You'll be fine. Don't worry about it. That's what she has bone cancer.
Who else is involved in this? My girl, Lauren Boebert, was involved here. Jay's favorite congressperson, Louis Gohmert, yes, named in here.
Of course.
Andy Biggs. Tad Cadworth.
Mo of course. Andy, or Tad, you know, our boy Tad Cadworth, clearing trees by hand. God, that guy sucks. He's a fucking Nazi. Yes, we know his name is Madison Cawthorn. We just like to make fun of him because he looks like a Ted. And then Mo Brooks, Mr. It was a peaceful day. Everything was fine. That's why I wore a bulletproof vest.
Dude, did you see what Mo Brooks did?
Yes.
By the way, yeah. In the wake of this story.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I didn't plan the insurrection. Maybe some of my staff did. What the fuck? Dude, can you imagine if you work for that guy, you're like, what? Dude, what the You sent me, you asshole.
Like, tell me that the bus is coming. Jeez. Before it fucking hits me. Jesus
Dude,
Christ.
What a move, man. What a move to be like, that's not really my problem. Come on.
But again, this is the guy that, as you said, literally wore body armor.
You did.
Underneath his fucking Oxford shirt to the speech. Like, come on. What are you doing?
But then he went and said that, oh, it was a peaceful day. Like, oh, it's be then why are you wearing body armor, dog? Like, one, also, it was not a peaceful day. We have footage. Our eyes do in fact work. But yeah, so I mean, okay. What is the percentage chance that this story is completely true?
Completely true? I mean,
yeah, that they worked with Boebert and Brooks and Cawthorn and Biggs and Louis Gohmert and their staff.
And it
mentions White House Chief of Staff fucking Mark Meadows as well.
I don't think that it's going to be like, you know, hey, here's a fucking blueprint of the Capitol building so you can plan, you know, your best point of egress. But right. Like, I don't think we're going to get anything like that. But absolutely, like they helped plan this rally with a lot of people that were entirely pissed off. And the end result of that was what we saw on right. January 6th. Like there's not just because you, I don't know, it's kind of like throwing a fucking, you know, match into a tinderbox and be like, I'm shocked that it exploded. Like, I can't believe that thing caught on fire.
Who could have known?
Who could have predicted it?
Yeah. Us. We could have predicted it. I am thoroughly amazed that we are now at a point where the Jan 6 protesters are like, I think it's time to start ratting people out because they don't want to go to jail.
Well, what have they got to lose? Like they're the ones that are fucking holding the bag right now for this.
Yeah.
Like which again, like, as these Congress people, if you're not willing to go down with the ship, then you have to know that you're going to get fucking dimed out, because again, the entire criminal justice system is based on can you net me a bigger fish, like, especially on the federal level. Like that's literally what it's all about. So if you're not willing to ride it out with them, why are you even getting involved? Because these people aren't good. Like, unless you have this like bizarre thought process, like, these people are going to be devoutly loyal to you. They're not loyal to you. They're loyal to Donald Trump. And even then, like we're starting to see some of that shit waver as well.
Right. That's tangential at best. The second people's ass are really on the line, right? These people, ride or die for Donald Trump forever, blah, blah, blah. Oh, no, you're going to spend 30 years in jail. He told me to do it. I mean, look, we've seen multiple reports from these rioters being on trial saying, well, Donald Trump told us to go to the Capitol. He said he was coming right behind us. Like, we thought we had his support. Like, that's not really an argument, but I understand their argument because they thought that this guy was going to bail him out. He was going to be there. He was going to be leading the charge into the Capitol so they would be fine. But when the shit hit the fan and he was just like, pardons? Pardon who? No, I don't have any more power. So, that's the funny thing is, right? Like, they did this on January 6th, and it's like, after this, dude, if you weren't able to get it done, that's it. That's it. Yeah. Shit's certified. It's a wrap. It's a wrap. Like, it's over.
That's the other funny thing about it, too, is that I think I heard the point made on Pod Save America that it was like, for Trump, it was like, the wrong amount of insurrection. Like, he either wanted no insurrection or more insurrection, like a failed insurrection was like the wrong amount because it just made them all look bad and didn't get the result that they wanted, essentially. Right. So,
I mean, the funny thing is, as I think about it, what did they think was going to happen? Right.
Like they thought that they would either stop the election from being certified, or the Hail Mary move was to be like for them to like freak out Mike Pence. And Mike Pence is like, well, guess I got to make Donald Trump the president by throwing out all these,
which
votes.
Is not a power he possesses. Right. Yeah. Like this is the problem is the big lie is, you know, detrimental to democracy anyway. Right. Like that part is obvious, but it also is detrimental to how they think because they start telling their constituents and then more importantly, they start telling their own people like Mike Pence that you have the power to do these things. It's like, but he doesn't have the power to do that.
No, he doesn't have the power. And again, like that's the problem with Trump being the guy parroting this stuff forward because he's like, oh, you can do this. You can do this, stating it if it's fact. And of course, because these people believe everything that he fucking says is if Donald Trump is a constitutional scholar overnight or something like that.
As if he's read the Constitution.
Right.
let's bring the bar down. He's never read it.
And so they're like, well, he's saying it, so it must be true. So like they believe that this thing is absolutely true, even though, like you said, like there's nothing in the Constitution that allowed Mike Pence to do that. It's almost as he said, like it's pretty much like a procedural thing. Right. And even his fucking coward ass tried to go to DOJ and was like, is there any way that this is a thing I can do? And they're just like, no, it's pretty cut and dry.
Right. And so, yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting. Like from the perspective of their lie is now permeated so deeply in their own like group of people that they're mad at Mike Pence for not doing something that he simply cannot do. Right.
Yeah. Well, again, to quote George Costanza, it's not a lie if you believe it.
Exactly. Like I find that baffling. Like you hear Republicans state now, like these, you know, these lunatics, they're like, yo, fuck Mike Pence. And I'm like, but yo, I'm glad none of that shit happened because that would have been a fucking stupid nightmare. But like, he literally could not have done it. Like he couldn't have done it. Like you're mad at him for something that again is made up. It's absolutely made up bullshit. So it's interesting. Which brings us right into the next story. Democrats say that GOP lawmakers who are implicated in January 6th should be expelled. This feels like a no-brainer to me.
It does, but it's not. But it's also not going to happen. I think it's not going to happen,
and that's the problem.
Yeah, I think it's important to always temper this story with that reality because it would take a 2/3 vote in order to expel those members, and you're not getting a single Republican congressperson to actually vote for that in the affirmative.
No,
like there's no way, shape, or form. So, like I said, I kind of hate stories like this because like it's kind of like the no shit version of this. Like, yeah, of course they should be expelled because they're fucking terrorists, essentially. But it's also not going to happen. So I feel like that coming up with productive solutions is actually the thing to do because again, you're not going to convince anyone on the other side of the aisle about doing what's right because these guys, even if they didn't participate in the fomenting of insurrection, have also bought into the what's now the party line for the GOP is that, oh, it was just a peaceful protest. It was fine.
Yeah.
A couple people died.
A peaceful protest where we beat a cop with a Trump flag. Like,
yeah.
You know, it happens. Standard.
It happens at every peaceful protest.
It does for me. All the ones I've been to. You know how many cops we've beaten to death? It's so easy. I mean, obviously you're correct, right? Like that. You're not going to get a 2/3 in either chamber to get these people out of here. However, I do think there is something to be said about having this information going into elections, right?
Oh, absolutely. Because, that's where it's most effective. Is where you
right
can
because
use it. Yeah.
Because if you have definitive information, and they need definitive information, none of this like oh he said she said bullshit, but definitive information, and these dumb fucks wrote shit down, so. Look, it's not like you can't get it.
Not only did they write it down, but you have cavewoman Taylor Green coming out there like doing interviews being like, you know, two rocks when hit together creep. No, that's something she said before. No, she's sitting there saying,
did you guys hear about the Holocaust? Holy shit.
No, not even that. Like, I don't know if you saw. I don't remember what she said verbatim, but essentially she was saying what happened on January 6th was what did she call it? Like she basically likened it to the American Revolution.
Yeah.
Which I need to remind her was literally an insurrection.
Here's the thing about Republicans, especially dumb ones, right? And I'm talking really dumb ones. Not that I think all Republicans are stupid. I just think these particular people are stupid. They don't know shit about history. They don't know anything. They just say things that hit the buzzwords. Revolutionary War, we fucking kicked the British's ass. Like, they don't know. They know about as much about American history as a fifth grader who's like, in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. That's the level of knowledge that they have, and that's how deeply they think about these things, right? So, yeah, of course she would say that. Like, she don't know shit. She don't know shit about anything, dude. She's still screaming on Twitter, AOC, debate me, debate me! And it's like, why would AOC debate you? She's way smarter than you. Like, it would be her, it would be like me debating a pile of, like, monkey shit. There's no difference. What am I yelling at that for? It's fucking dumb. It's a waste of time. Or arguing with a literal cavewoman. I didn't say it. That's what Google Images said. Look, I do think politically it does make sense when you're going into like 2022. If you have definitive information, and again, you need definitive information here. If you have that, then you can say, look, not only should you vote for us because of all of our policies are better and we need more Democrats in office to actually get shit done, not only should you do that, but not only should that happen, but you shouldn't vote for these assholes because here is information that these guys tried to destroy democracy when they got sad, right? Like, that is how you beat them over the head. Anybody who runs, if you can find a Democrat to run against Marjorie Taylor Greene, let's say, you would beat her over the head with that shit. Hey, asshole, you helped plan this.
Literally. Like, you did. I hope they literally beat her over the head with it.
I mean, that would also
with whatever information that they come up with.
Stop saying stupid things. But, like, you can politically beat these people over the head with that, right? Lauren Boebert, I don't know if anybody is from, like, you know, Rifle who wants to go against her. But, like, you could win on that. You could beat a Mo Brooks or maybe a Tad Cadworth. You might be able to beat those fucking idiots if you have evidence, right? It's not going to be easy because they're all from like ruby red areas. That's why they're in Congress. But any of them who are even the like have a minutia of vulnerability, use that against them. And actually also use it against the National Party to do damage to them. Right? Like, hey, assholes in these, you know, purple districts and purple states. Yeah, you didn't vote to expel these people, but here's all this evidence. Why didn't you do it? And like in debates, call it out. Just continue to call it out. You guys are insurrectionists. And if you're not an insurrectionist, you're supportive of it. Right? So use that as a weapon against them. Like, look, there are things in politics that are important. Using like political jujitsu is an important lesson to learn, right? Use their fucking power against them. They wanted to come and rush the Capitol. Cool. Now we're going to hang that shit around your neck and beat you to death with it until you lose. Like, that's what you have to do. And take no prisoners, man. Like, look, if you got to send AOC to go and help you shit on some dickbag in Arizona or wherever to win that race, then you do it. Bring the whole fucking team. Like, but you use it to your benefit. Don't just like have the information and be like, well, we'll talk to you about that later. Now, fuck that. That's a weapon to use against them. And I keep using it, by the way. I'd use it until people got tired of hearing that shit. I would. 2024, I'd bring it up again.
And I think the problem is that, you know, you'll have stories that'll come out and the information will get out in the public discourse and Democrats will think that that's enough. And it's often not, because the average news viewer is not, you know, paying attention to the level that us or anyone watching or listening to this would do. But yeah, holding a vote to try to expel them would certainly do that. The flip side of that, the damage that you could do is that there are a lot of voters that are stupid enough to see if a vote like that came up and then it failed. They would just assume that, you know, oh, maybe it wasn't that big of a deal then what happened on January 6th, or their involvement wasn't that big of a deal.
Right.
Or as integral. So that's the flip side of it. Like I said, I'm all for wielding the power that your office gives you. I don't think Democrats do enough of it. I think Republicans do it entirely too much and frivolously. Yep. So yeah, absolutely. Like I said, use the levers of power, but just don't expect anything to actually come of it in a tangible sense. Like, there's lots of people that, again, the same fucking idiots that are just like, I forced the vote. Like they're saying that they should do this so it'll work. I'm like, that's not a realistic outcome. Like, you need to understand that going into the situation. So
right. I mean, look, I said this on Twitter a number of weeks ago. If you're looking for a mark of a real progressive, these are people who want workable solutions, real workable solutions. Hashtag force the vote was not a workable solution. And you can tell, because you can tell the people who were pushing it. Hey, is Jimmy Dore pushing this? Then it's bullshit. Okay. It's just, I'm mad. That's all it is. It's just, I'm mad. Like, look, I get it. I'm mad too. That doesn't fix shit. Doesn't fix anything. Cool. You're mad. All right. Like, you're a grown ass man. Get over it. Like, yeah, you're mad. I want to fix it. I don't understand. Like, I don't understand that type of politics of just
I'm mad at the system, Jay. So let me voice my displeasure by making it more difficult for the party that I'd rather see be successful, be able to do anything about it.
That is correct. Like, I don't understand that type of politics.
That's my strategy.
Yeah. What? I'm mad. So I'm not going to vote, giving the people I hate more power so that they make my life worse. And then I'll blame the people who are not in power. Okay. Like, if you're mad, run the fucking table. Like, that's the thing. If you're mad about what's going on right now in the Senate, and you have every right to be mad, I'm mad too. You got two dick bags who are fucking it up for everybody, right? And you got a couple of other, like, slightly quieter dick bags, right? But they're also, but for the most part, it's the two major dick bags, Sinema and Manchin. Cool. You're mad about it? Vote. Come out in droves. Like, you can't go, I'm mad, take your ball home, and then let Republicans win. What solution is that? What solution is that? Look,
it's the stay mad solution.
Right.
Because, again, when being mad is all you really want, that's a great
easy
solution. Because then you can just be perpetually mad.
I'm mad forever. Guess what? Okay, nothing has changed. What? Nothing. Well, it's like this week, some guy, I forget who it was, is like a sitting congressman in the House.
It was Richie Torres.
Yeah, Richie Torres. That's right. And yeah, he called out Breonna Greyjoy, or whatever the hell her name is, Joy Gray. And she's like, you know, it basically, like, why don't you run for office? If it's so fucking easy, come here. Run for office, kick ass, win, right? Everyone in your timeline loves you. I'm sure it'll work out. You get your ass fucking stomped into the ground. By the way, the last two people who have been like uber leftists, who have like run for office, who talked all the shit of how easy it is, got their asses handed to them in races. What's the black woman who lost recently?
Nina Turner
and Cenk Uygur, right? Both of, oh, this is a, it's so easy, just get in there and fight. Yeah, then you run. What happened? Huh?
Didn't even win a primary.
No, you ain't even win a primary, dude, in California. Knock it the fuck off. You ain't run a primary in Alabama. You ran it in a blue ass state and you got your ass kicked. It isn't so fucking easy. Let alone once you get into office trying to move that giant slow ship with 100 anchors tethered to the ground in any other direction, right? Like, it's a bit difficult. So this idea, like, Richie Torres called her out. It's like, then why don't you run? And I'm like, and a lot of the comments were like, thank you. Like, it's not so fucking easy to you're just like, just fix Medicare. And like, or no, what was she complaining? She was saying it's ridiculous that, you know, ending child poverty for, you know, cutting child poverty in half is temporary. And it's like, one, I love when people with money say that helping poor people for any amount of time is like not valid. I'm like, oh, you're not poor. Like, I was raised poor.
I can't believe that someone who earns $30,000 a month, whose podcast earns $30,000 a month, you just assume is wealthy, Jay. How elitist of you. What an elitist take.
I'm sorry. My bad. Yeah, I apologize. But like, he called her out, right? And there was people in the comments saying like, yeah, thank you. This is like, it's not easy, right? Because he said, you know, if you get into Congress, you realize you can't just perform magic. And then nothing drives me crazier than people who purposely take what someone says out of context, right? It's either you're dumb or you're purposely taking it out of context, right? When he says it's not magic to make this stuff happen, he's talking about the legislative process. Like, you cannot make people do something they don't want to do. It just doesn't work like that. People are like, oh, so doing your job is magic? That's not what he's saying. And you know that's not what he's saying. Or you're an idiot. You can't be that stupid. You have to understand. You know how I know his point is correct? Nobody on the Rose Twitter, Uber fucking far, I'm not going to actually get anything done part of the left. And that's not all of the left, because we're on the left. I'm talking about the nutbags. I'm talking about the Breonna Joy Grace and all those other people who are just there to be mad, right? That's their whole policy stance. None of those people can tell you how to get Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin to vote for Joe Biden's agenda. None of them can tell you. You know why? Because you can't make an adult do something they don't want to do. That's it. It sucks, but you
clearly,
can't.
Clearly you could just replace them with an Uber progressive, Jay. That's the goal. That's the move.
Right. Well, why don't we just run someone who's furthest to the left? Okay. One, sure. Two, they're in office right now. How do you fix it right now? Well, Joe Biden used to just use the bully pulpit. Oh, really? Should he just scream at Kristen Sinema? What will that do? Hey, I like your jean jacket. Is that going to fix anything? No, it doesn't fix anything. The point is, that's not how fucking politics works. Politics has, there are two things, and we've talked about this for years on the show. There's two things. There is reality, and then there's political reality. You may want Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin to vote for voting rights and billionaire taxes and all of this other shit and Build Back Better and all this other stuff. So do we. But the political reality is those two pieces of shit are bought. And when you're bought, there's nothing else you can do. There's nothing else. All you can do is when it's time for elections to come out full bore and get as many real progressives in as humanly possible. That's the fix. I don't have to come up with a fake fix or tell you some bullshit because that's the only real one. But none of these people can tell you how to fix it otherwise. None of them.
Is that you say, you know, people, oh, we you know, how broken this system is that Joe Manchin can single-handedly stop, you know, any legislation he doesn't like from passing, even though he represents, you know, I think I saw like 0.5% of the country in West Virginia. And I'm like, yeah, it is really fucking dumb. But it's the system that we're working within right now. Like, unless you have some brilliant idea that is in the possible reality to change the system, like if you're somehow going to repeal the 17th Amendment so that, you know, governors pick senators, then we get two Republican senators from West Virginia instead of Joe Manchin.
Right.
And an Uber
Great.
Right. Right. Or unless somehow, you know, senators are going to be, you know, again, like there's not a tangible solution that has a real possibility of coming to fruition that you can suggest. So you have to work within the confines of the system that you're in.
That's it.
And again, like you said, the only solution is to get as many Democrats in the Senate as possible so that Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema's opinions don't matter because you don't need their votes. So they then have to come to you to get stuff that they want, but they're not going to be able to stop, you know, the progress from happening.
Right. Like, I don't understand, like, this idea that it's so hard to understand this. like, the system is fucked up, bro. The system is fucked up, bro. Yeah, it's fucked up. But there's nothing you can do about it at the moment. You know when you can change the system? When it's time to vote, which you fucking assholes don't do. You go, well, we never get any progressives, so I'm not going to vote. And then you complain that nothing progressive ever happens because you don't vote progressives in. Got it. Cool. Hey,
Jay,
they didn't even come out for fucking Bernie. They didn't even come out for Bernie, but yet they're mad at what Joe Biden is doing. You didn't come out for him. What the fuck?
It's almost as if, and it's pardon ridiculous. The pun, it's almost as if they're approaching this conversation from a position of bad faith.
We should have called this podcast also bad faith, or like the oh bad faith factor. Like it's such bullshit. It's such bullshit. And I would love to have a real conversation with her or anybody like her and say, like, okay, like, bullshit aside, look, we all probably have the same ultimate goals. We probably do. I mean, I also would love to make $30,000 a month on a podcast. That sounds awesome. that's the real goal. I mean, come on, guys. Come on. It's time to make money. That's what they want. Knock it off. Right? Like, they judge these billionaires, but, like, you just be happy to be a millionaire. Like, okay. <Yeah. laughs> Okay. Knock it the fuck off. So I would love to talk to him. Like, look, we all have the ultimate same goal, right? You want Medicare for all. We want, you know, poor people to have the fair shake, right? We would love it to be, you know, to eliminate poverty altogether, obviously. We'd love to do all of those things. It's 2021. It is October 27th as the day that we're recording this. How do you get Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema to get on board to get these things done? Let's say that you have every other Democrat on board with your agenda, everything that you want. Right? Not even Joe Biden's agenda. Everything that you want. And there's
which,
down
which
to those
which
two.
You don't.
Which you don't. But let's say that you did. just in this lovely utopian scenario. You have 48 Democrats who are like, we're all on board. You got Kamala Harris is on board. Kamala Harris is on board. Joe Biden is on board. All you need is those last two, baby. That's it. She'll come in. She'll do the tiebreaker. Boom. We're getting it all done. Give me the exact detail of how you get two grown adults to do what you want them to do. You gonna pay them off?
Those not watching the video version can't see that I'm just rubbing my fingers together, because outside of that,
there ain't nothing you got on them.
That's about all you got.
That's it. I remember the story. People were like, oh, you know, Joe Manchin's daughter, it's like some sort of like corrupt person or whatever running his oil business.
She's not a corrupt person. She just has a high ranking position at companies that run against progressive interests, essentially. Like, right. it's not like she's a fucking, you know,
she's
like,
not a Koch brother. Taking anything, right.
Yeah. No. Right. But it's just she's in a powerful position in an industry that her dad is favorable to.
Right. So people are like, well, why don't they just have the DOJ? You know, why don't they just threaten to have the DOJ look into her stuff? Okay, so let's say that you do that, right? Let's say you do that. Hey, Joe Biden brings Joe Manchin. Get your ass in here, Manchin, you son of a bitch. He sits him down. And he's like, maybe we have the DOJ looking at your daughter, huh? Hey, maybe is that what you want? Or you get on board for our agenda. You know what, in a fantasy world that these people live in, Joe Manchin goes, oh, okay, oh God, I don't want any of that. And then he runs back and he supports Build Back Better and all their other legislation. But here's what happens in reality. Joe Manchin goes, oh, word? Cool. How about I go out to the press and tell them that you just threatened me with the Justice Department, throw your ass into a fucking impeachment, or I don't even do that. I just now become an even bigger asshole and say, I'm not going to do any of the shit that I would probably agree with you on 50% of it.
Right. How you like that? And call your bluff. And call your fucking bluff. And see if you actually want to go that route. And again, like, forgetting the fact that we just went through 4 years of a guy who did reach out and try to, you know, influence the direction his DOJ took.
Right. But this is what you want. You want him to be Trump, though. But then you say,
but they do.
Trump and Biden are the same. You're trying to make them the same. They're not the same. You're trying to make them the same.
Hey, but look, Joe Biden ain't perfect. What they want. Like, but that's nonsense. Like, I firmly believe that if Bernie had somehow won the presidency, now would Bernie be more aggressive with EOs than Joe Biden has been? Probably. Like 100%. That's definitely a fact. 100%. But he wouldn't have been aggressive to the point where he would have been signing executive orders that were unrealistic, like that were not going to sustain a judicial challenge, right? And so they would have turned on him anyway. They've been like, you've got this power, why aren't you using it? And I'm just like, he's not a king. Like do you have a
right? They don't know how government works.
They don't know how federal government works.
They have no idea. They have no idea. Yeah. Well, why don't you just get it done? Oh, I don't know. Like, it's really weird. I wonder why Democrats never just hit the button for make everything better right before an election. Is it that they don't want to, or is that they can't? Because that's not how the system fucking works. It's not a monarchy. But you're right. They wish he was a king. Like, it's ridiculous. And look, you can absolutely guarantee if Bernie Sanders ever became president, they would tear his ass a new one by day 10. Yeah. By day 10, they'd be like, yo, this is taking way too long. Like, you are a failure. You're not really a progressive. Like, they'd light into him. Yeah, of course. Because it's not their goal. Their goals are not real. They're just another part. I would say morally a better part, but it's the other side of the coin of the big lie, right? Their big lie is that you can just do anything once you're president. Like, that's not true. Well, Republicans do that. Those are called breaking the law. Like, you can't. Yeah. That's not it's not how the system works. And the system, like our judicial system and everything else, will allow for Republicans to do shit like that. It will never allow Democrats to do that. You think the Supreme Court is going to be like, nah, it's fine. No.
They're conservative. Jay, Bernie would have expanded the Supreme Court to 21 35
seats. No, the fuck he wouldn't, dude. No, he wouldn't. He'd threaten it. I guarantee you he would threaten it, but I doubt he'd do it. I doubt he would. Because Bernie is also a person who believes in the system, too. He's not a person that believes in destroying it.
Well, and he's someone who believes in the system senator. Because he understands that you can't make change that lasts without working through the system. Like that's the thing that everyone also forgets is that executive orders are easily rescinded by the next guy. So like you can do crazy shit for 4 years, assuming it survives the Supreme Court, which a lot of it wouldn't. If a Republican comes in right after that, they just hit the undo button. They just hit fucking control Z and take everything back to the way it was 4 years ago. Like, it's not, I understand what people don't, I don't understand what hyper progressives don't understand about that.
Yeah. I've
learned how your government works. Just learn how your government works. That's all you gotta do. That's all you gotta do.
Fuck that. Get out of here. No. Read. Fuck you, Brad. Get out of here. I'm not doing that. Not learning shit. No, I'd rather complain. Speaking of stupid, Mitt Romney was on television. And not that I think Mitt Romney is stupid. I just think that the following statement he made about
Mitt Romney is not a stupid man, but he says a lot of stupid things because he hasn't understood what it's like to be not upper class literally his entire life.
Yeah, like what? Like this is a wild quote. So they're talking about the idea of taxing billionaires, right? Because all of a sudden everyone in Congress has said, "Hey, so Kristen Sinema is holding up us taxing millionaires. You know what? Fuck it. Let's just go to billionaires. Like, we'll stop all this fucking around. Let's get to the game, right?" I would just like to point out that she could have been president, guys. Like, you don't have to just take her policies. You could have just voted for her. She could have been president. And she would have been leading the charge and kicking these people in their teeth every fucking day of her presidency, which I was here for. Come on, we had the gif of Elizabeth Warren rubbing her hands, ready to tax the shit out of rich people. It was awesome. You could have had her.
Two cents on every dollar, Jay. That's all it takes.
That's all it takes, baby. Come on, man. That was such a great, fucking a great way to push that. Because people are like, yeah, 2 cents. What's the big deal? Like, even I could afford that. Surely Mark Zuckerberg could. And then you look at the money, you're like, ooh, that's a lot of money. God damn. Good. Good. Fuck them. So when asked about, you know, taxing billionaires. Mitt Romney, who is a definite millionaire, multimillionaire, he says, quote, these multi-billionaires are going to look and say, quote, I don't want to invest in the stock market because as that goes up, I got to get taxed. So maybe I'll instead invest in a ranch or in paintings or things that don't build jobs and create a stronger economy. Basically, one, no, they won't. Two, do you catch the horse, like the big horseshit of the statement?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're going to take their money out of the stock market and then they're going to use that to buy up a ranch or paintings. See, this is one of those things that I love when rich people talk as if poor people can't read shit, right? And they know that a lot of people don't understand the investments and stuff like that. But I'm here to tell you that we fucking do. When you sell stock is when you get taxed. The reason that the rich love the stock market is because they can buy and sell stock as long as they don't, or like buy and sell stock with their accounts, as long as they don't pull money out of that account, they don't get taxed on it. And that's what they do. That's how they move money and keep money around. That's why they want tons and tons of stocks, because that money just sits. It just accrues. Until you fully pull it out of the stock market, you don't get taxed for it. So him saying, oh, as the stock market, because as that goes up, they get taxed. That's a nonsensical statement. That doesn't make any sense at all. Yeah. And then to say, well, they'll buy a ranch or paintings. Well, they would be taking money out of the stock market. So then they would be paying taxes on that. And they'd be paying taxes on that ranch. Now, paintings, he's 100% right. Right? Like art, like the art world is a fucking boondoggle because rich people hide their money in that shit. Like that is absolutely
Jay,
true.
Have you heard of this new cool fad called NFTs? It's like paintings, but on the internet. All the rich people are gonna be going for it.
Yep.
It's gonna be crazy. It's gonna be crazy. Mitt Romney, don't threaten me with a good time. Rich people are going to pull their money out of the stock market? Oh, no. I love this myth that Republicans continue to feed their voters that somehow the stock market equates to the economy. It does not. It never has. It never fucking will. The stock market is a fucking craps table for people that have more money than they need. Essentially,
yeah.
That's all it is. It is a high risk, high yield bank, for lack of a better term, for rich people. That's all it is. That's absolutely all it is. It does nothing to help build the economy. It does nothing to help build jobs, because when companies do well in the stock market, like when companies' value appreciates through stocks, do they hire more workers? No, they fucking pay out their shareholders. They pay out dividends.
That's right.
They buy back stock. They give out maybe bonuses, but they certainly don't fucking hire people. They certainly don't fucking raise salaries. How many people made killings in the stock market over the pandemic? Did that automatically lead to salaries being raised? No. You know what got wages up? When people said, I'm not fucking working for minimum wage
yourself.
Anymore.
Yeah, go fuck yourself.
When the labor became a shortage in the market, people were like, oh shit, I guess we got to pay more for labor if we want people to come fucking work. All of a sudden, you're paying $15 an hour. Holy shit, I can get people to come work for me. Amazing. It's amazing how that works. Crazy. Yep. Absolutely nuts.
Yeah, look.
And then what happens? The stocks go up because the company is more stable and therefore they become more people buy stock in it, and round we go. Who gives a shit if rich people pull their fucking money out of the stock market? They're going to have to pull it out of Cancun first anyway to fucking do anything with it.
I mean, right. You're going to have to go down.
Sorry, the Caymans. Sorry, not Cancun. Cancun's a resort town. The Cayman Islands is where they keep all that money.
You know, like that or Swiss bank accounts. I mean, like wherever, right? Look, this is like textbook Mitt Romney bullshit. It's also textbook rich people bullshit that... You know, like you convince, like you were saying, like convincing these poor people, like, oh, they're going to crash the economy. No, they're not. No, they're not. Oh, they're going to leave the country. Leave. I fucking dare you. Where are you going to go? Huh? You keep your money in Azerbaijan? Get the fuck out of here. No, you're not. If you were going to leave, you'd leave now. You would have left years ago, decades ago.
So you're gonna move your business to the UAE, fucking Qatar? Like, get out of here.
They'll come and seize that money in a fucking afternoon.
That is the thing that no one ever fucking talks about. Like, people are like, oh shit, they're gonna move this stuff to Europe. Will they get taxed 40% on their way on their income? Like, that's where they're gonna go? Where they're gonna pay quadruple what they're paying now?
Right. If there was a better place for them to keep all of their money, they would have already moved it. Like, if they thought that it was actually legitimately a good idea to move their money to, I don't know, Russia or whatever, they would have done it. What's stopping them? Nothing is stopping them. If that was a fiduciarily positive thing for them, they'd have done it. They don't need controversy to do it. They'd just be like, yeah, I'm out. Fuck, is it a Wednesday? I'm gone. Right? But they don't do it. Yeah. And what that tells you is they don't move to those markets because they're not stable or because the taxes are higher. We have one of the lowest corporate taxes. I think it's the lowest corporate tax of, quote unquote, first world countries. I don't really like to use that term, but of these major big companies or countries, we have the lowest corporate tax. They don't leave because it's financially good for them to stay here.
This doesn't get talked about. Like we've talked a lot about like moving the Overton window with like Medicare for All and stuff like that. We don't talk about how Republicans have moved it over the last couple of years. People don't remember, but 9 years ago, when Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan were running for president, they proposed that the corporate tax rate in the United States should be 25%. Because that would have been about a 10% cut from where it was when they were running. Kyrsten Sinema, Democrat, is arguing now that the corporate tax rate shouldn't be above 21%. We somehow moved the Overton window from the Republican position was too progressive on corporate tax to now the Democratic position, or at least the position of one Democrat, is that we should keep it at a 4% lower rate than the Republican presidential nominee proposed keeping it at only 9 years ago. Because as we've seen with anything like this, you give Republicans an inch and they're going to take a mile. So you let them scale it back to fucking 15%. They're just going to go out and be like,
they want it at zero. Yo, they want it at zero.
Yeah.
They don't want to pay. Look, some of these corporations are already paying zero. Amazon doesn't pay anything.
Yeah.
You think Tesla pays anything? No. Tesla just hit $1 trillion. $1 trillion company now. This week. Trillion fucking dollars.
My other favorite tweet around this was Elon Musk, where some person was like railing about we're just gonna come from billionaires, like and the money tap. And Elon Musk is like, that's right. Once they go get the money from us and the money runs out, like, they're going to come to you next. I'm like, Elon Musk, you just described taxes. Like, the rest of us pay them. Like, I
we already pay taxes, bro. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Like we're already giving our money.
He's like,
do you think all this shit's coming from?
I'm not sure that they know poor people to pay taxes. Right? Like, they're just like, I don't know, who pays
them? I don't think they do. Or I just think
they don't think about it. They don't think about it.
Because for them, even if they pay in the millions of dollars of taxes, which, on a personal income tax level, they do. Like, corporate tax is a different thing. But on a personal income tax level, they do pay millions of dollars in taxes. But to them, that's a rounding error. Like, they have so much money that it's not, like, it's an insignificant amount of money.
Right. It's nothing for them. So I would be remiss if I didn't mention this. This is the second dumbest quote that Mitt Romney has ever done.
Right? We know what the first is.
Come on, man. Keep it together. This is very serious. The first quote, the number one dumbest quote Mitt Romney has ever said. And I quote, my favorite meat is hot dog, by the way. This is my favorite meat. My second favorite meat is hamburger. And everyone says, oh, don't you prefer steak? It's like, I know steaks are great, but I like hot dog best, and I like hamburger next best. I like hamburger next best? What?
Do you know why that quote is so funny? Because he
sounds like Marjorie Taylor Greene?
Like it was going through the fucking, you know, Mitt Romney everyman calculator when he said that quote. He's like, if I say that I love steak, all they're gonna do is use that to paint me as an elitist, which they're doing like crazy. What's the fucking poorest meat that I can possibly think of? hot dog meat. That's the move.
What do poor people eat? What is that tubular meat that the poors eat? Yes, accessing, ding, hot dog meat. So I like hot dog. I like hamburger next best is one of the fucking funniest sentences I've ever heard. So you sound like a caveman. He sounds like a fucking caveman. It's just insane.
Like I said, that's how you know he was thinking really hard when he was saying it.
He sounded
like an idiot.
Yeah, like, because, yo, you don't talk like that. I like hamburger next best. Next best meat. So good. Messed you up. Yeah, no, he's an interesting fella.
To put a bow on this, it just blows my mind that Republican voters are just able to suck at the teat of the most insane thing, that the mentality of won't somebody think of the poor billionaires is like a driving force within the Republican voting bloc.
Amazing.
It's insane because they too might be a billionaire, Jay. You never know.
One day when you're rich, or to quote Marco Rubio, I believe we are a country of rich and soon to be rich. What? What are you talking about?
Soon well, you see, Jay, there was a documentary that was on TV back in the 1960s about a good old boy who struck oil in the fields and moved out to Beverly Hills.
Was it bubbling crude? Yeah.
Texas tea. He was pretty happy that that we didn't, you know, have all these corporate taxes for all these guys. God.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, I think that's it. I think they've been watching way too much Nick at Night. Like, they're just like, no, this is how everyone makes it. Like, no,
that's right. Find an oil field and have attractive cousins that you can want to ogle and have sex with, and that's the real American dream right there.
Yeah, that was a part of that story, wasn't it? that's not okay. Next up, opponents of critical race theory, white people, seek to flip school boards all around the country.
I thought we officially changed this to critical racist theory as they talk about it. So.
I think when they have people learn about the Holocaust and the opposite sides of the Holocaust, that's critical racist theory. Like, that's what that is. This is just white people acting fucking stupid, or conservative whites, in fairness. So this story is ABC went to Guilford, Connecticut to talk to some nutbags up there, and they're like, look, we need to get rid of the superintendent of schools because he's helping to indoctrinate our children and, you know, teach them about, you know, things like maybe we shouldn't just put black people in prison all the time just for existing, you know, crazy shit. So yeah, we gotta get rid of it. We gotta get rid of that guy. But they see it as this opportunity to basically take over the school boards all across the country. And a bunch of conservative groups are pushing people to do this, like run for your local school board. Look, from a perspective of, from a political perspective, not basing on right or wrong, and I'll talk about obviously my views on it. This is genius from a Republican's perspective. This is brilliant. This is how you get one. This is how you get your fucking base fired the hell up, right? Of course, they're fired up over a fake controversy because, of course, that's the Republican Party. But it's a way to get your base fired up. It's sexy sounding. Critical race theory. Oh my God, they're corrupting white children everywhere, right? It sounds sexy. And you can really do damage, right? Like, I know that there's been a long adage that Republicans want to fuck up the education system so they can have dumber voters who will vote for them. And that has been that's been an adage for a long time, but it's true. Like the least educated their constituents are, the easier they're led by their noses, right? We see that with Trump world, where these people just believe fucking anything because they're not educated on the political system, let alone educated on noticing a charlatan is about, you know, like they don't get it. So,
the way you casually just drop that phrase there is fucking hilarious.
Right. Like it's just, he's like, a
grifter is afoot. Scatter children.
There's a werewolf in the town. Right. So they don't, I mean, it's kind of true. And you know, they do want that. I don't know if they are like, that is like front of mind. Like, we need to do this to fuck up the education system so we can have dumber voters. And yeah, like, I don't think it's front of mind like that, but I think it does behoove them to have people who challenge less, right? Like, for all of the like Democrats are sheeple type of shit, Democrats are hard as fuck to wrangle, dude, when it comes to politics. We are really hard to wrangle because it's like, well, you guys don't believe in climate change enough. Well, you guys don't believe in Medicare enough. Like, we have these big fights in our party because we are very independently minded. And that's not all Democrats. I'm not trying to say that, because there are plenty of fucking people who just go along with the blue team. But Republicans get in lockstep the second somebody is like, I'm the boss. They love that shit. Like, that's what they're into. That's why they advocate for Trump being a dictator. They don't give a shit. They just want a daddy in office.
I mean, again, how many times on this program, and we haven't said this in a while, but it's true. How many times have we said Republicans just want a daddy? That's all they want. They just want a daddy. So.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. So there's an interesting couple of quotes here in the article. It says they're talking about candidates for this local school board, right? Members of the local school board. It says one of the five candidates on the slate opposed to critical race theory, Danielle Scarpellano, a local business owner, said in an appearance on Fox and Friends First, quote, that she thinks that students are being used as political pawns, right? Another candidate, Tim Chamberlain, said on the campaign website that his children's teachers have, quote, tried to persuade him to abandon his conservative viewpoint. I guarantee you that's, hey, this thing happened in reality, and you've been taught that it didn't, right? Like, actually, Columbus was a rapist, and they're like, those are conservative values. How dare you? Don't tell my kid shit. I guarantee you it's something like that. Like, it's something like, yeah, they're trying to get you to change on like believing something that's simply not true. These people are fucking dangerous. And this obviously, I think this is wrong. I would not want these nutcases to take over my kid's school district or any other people's school district, because I think these people are lunatics. But what I would say is, Democrats, pay attention. This is what you should be doing, right? Mm-hmm. We believe in education. We believe in fairness. At least we're supposed to. We're supposed to believe in fairness and education and the rights of children and protecting children and making them smarter, better humans for life and for the world and being better world citizens. If you're going to run for office, this is a good place to start. This is a really good place to start. Because
I don't even necessarily think that Democrats have to run for these positions, though. Like, you just have to.
They generally control.
Throw them. Your support. Right. You just have to generally throw your support behind the person that's probably already there in most cases.
Right, and that's fine. But what I'm saying is, when those positions are open, if you want to make a political strides and you really want to help, like, this is a ground up thing. School boards are a big one, right? Especially if you're in a purple state, right? Like, we live in a blue state, so. Like, they're not doing anything too crazy with the schools, like out of step for like what we would agree with.
At least not in the city and county that we live in. At least I'm sure if you go further east and west, probably
disaster. Disaster. I don't think they should have masks. Like, all right, that's cool. Good luck with that. You don't want teachers to live? That's cool. Fine. Good luck.
Or your kids.
Or your kids, right? Like, sure. Do you, buddy. Do you. But So I think this is a good place to start. And I think you can make good inroads and you can make real change again, especially if you're in a red state or a purple state.
I literally struggle to think of a group of people, not just politicians, but just in general, like Republicans in general, from their politicians to their voters. I've never seen people project as much as they do, because these are the same folks who will bang the drum for free speech and will bang the drum like I think we should just let all opinions be heard. This is not the other thing. But then on the same token, they're trying to ban books, certain books from public schools. They don't want to hear about opposing viewpoints on an issue that they think they have the bulletproof correct story on. Like the dude that you said was like, oh, this teacher's trying to change my views. Like, they were talking about stuff like global warming. They were there talking about stuff
guaranteed.
Affirmative action.
Guaranteed. The earth is already warming. We don't need to talk about it. I guarantee it. That's not a conservative perspective, by the way. Global warming doesn't exist. That's not a conservative perspective. That's an anti-science perspective. You can be a conservative and be like, yeah, global warming exists. What the fuck? Like come on. But it's become a conservative thing
because
it's just anti-Democrat.
So firmly,
that's all it is.
They're so firmly rooted in that they believe it's right. They can't even bother to hear an opposing view.
Again,
I don't think that you should have to entertain opposing views that are ridiculous.
But I'm
also not the person that advocates for all voices to be heard, essentially. Global warming, like, if you're part of the 2% that don't believe it exists, then I don't need to hear from you because you're an idiot. You're literally bucking the consensus of pretty much all of science in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
So.
All right. There you go.
This also piggybacks, the other big news is, Glenn Youngkin, who's running for governor of Virginia, ran the ad with the mom who was like, my son read this book by Toni Morrison when he was in high school and it gave him nightmares. And I tried to get the school to ban it and Terry McAuliffe wouldn't let me do it. And it was just this book's on AP tests everywhere.
What was the book?
It was Beloved or Beloved by Toni Morrison. Because it had bestiality in it, so he's like, "Oh, this is I wasn't expecting to get this kind of content as a senior in high school." The kid's a conservative lawyer now. I'm sure that has nothing to do with why his mom is appearing in a campaign ad for a Republican gubernatorial candidate. Just throwing that out there. And plus,
whoa! It gave her son nightmares. How old was he?
He was a senior in high school, Jay. This was back in 2012. He's 26 now. He's 26 now.
Hey, sweetheart, I hate to be a dick. I really do. Hold on. Timing. Oh, we're after the hour mark. Look, let me tell you something. Your son's a senior in high school, or at the time he was. Guess what? He was watching way worse shit on the internet, baby. Get the fuck out of here. He wasn't having no nightmares. He's jerking off to that shit. Knock it off. Knock it off.
You will appreciate this. So in response to this ad being run.
Did Terry McAuliffe just do an ad of him laughing?
Oh, sure. No. This is even better. This is a level of petty, Jay, that you would ascribe to in this situation. At the following events that Terry McAuliffe had after this ad was running, he was giving out copies of Beloved to people at the event with a fucking campaign flyer that said Glenn Youngkin is trying to ban books from our schools the fake political party from V for Vendetta. It had that kind of motif going on, basically. It's very
nice.
Good.
Nice.
It's very good.
Terry McAuliffe, I never thought that he was going to be a good politician because he was the weird, very weird, Clintonite guy. And he just had a really weird energy.
He still does.
But he turned out to be a good governor, actually.
In a lot of ways.
What's that?
He's like the great value version of Bill de Blasio in a lot of ways.
He kind of is. Yeah. He kind of is. That's true. But I, I wasn't sure that he would work as a politician, but he actually did. He actually did very well in Virginia, and I do like that kind of pettiness. I feel like that's right. You're right. That's right in line with me, dude. I'd be like, oh, I'm not gonna ban this book. Oh, go fuck yourself. Oh, did your 18-year-old son have a nightmare and he told you about it, lady? I can't be so mean to children, but like as Terry McAuliffe, I couldn't be so mean. But me, Jay, on a podcast can be. Your son's a punk bitch. He is, dude. He's a punk bitch. You read a book and had a nightmare, and you told your mom about it. Dude, come on.
I just want to believe that Terry McAuliffe was like, Jesus. Saw that ad. He's like, what's the opposite of banning a book? He's like, if I win gubernatorial position, everyone in Virginia has to get this book. You have to get
I'll pay for it. I'll send him to your house. That's awesome. No, I like it. Yeah, get fucked. My son had a nightmare. Meh. Get out of my face. Here's an interesting story. Next up. 9 House Republicans who voted to impeach Trump outraised their GOP challengers in recent filings.
Yeah, turns out incumbency still a hard thing to overcome in general.
It is, but it's interesting. Does that fucking I'm a MAGA person, is that enough to get people on board now? I don't know.
It's going to depend. It really is going to depend on where you're running and also how established you are as well. Like for all the hand-wringing about Liz Cheney, like I don't think Liz Cheney is going to have that big of a problem.
That's going to be a walk. I think she's going to have no problems getting reelected. None.
But someone like Adam Kinzinger might have more difficulty.
He's not as established of a name. By the way, if I'm Liz Cheney, like I talked to my dad, like I talked to all the like the old school, like
my dad. Dad, they're making fun of me.
Dad, I had a nightmare. Terry McAuliffe made me read a book. Yeah, that's so lame, dude. Seriously, dude, come on, man. I'm not trying to challenge people's like masculinity or anything like that. I'm really not. But that's some punk ass shit, dude.
Also imagine a book, like there's a book in your child's school that you find objectionable and you're just like, ban it. I'm gonna call the governor. And make a stink.
That's a bold move, man.
Fuck my county executive. We're going over his head. we're just gonna call
I don't
the
have
governor.
Time to talk to the local dog catcher. I want to know about why my son is reading a book about a lion fucking a man. I want to know if my son is gonna fuck a griffin. I want to know why. That's crazy to me. I'm still baffled that like an 18-year-old kid tells his mom that he had a nightmare from reading a book in class. Like,
can you imagine
the people who work with him? By the way, that it didn't happen?
That's more what I'm thinking probably happened. Again, this kid is a conservative lawyer now. Like he's literally a lawyer for some Republican group of some kind or the other. So, like, I'm pretty sure he's just like, what can I do to get Glenn Youngkin elected? Mom, go on TV and say that I had nightmares.
If I worked at like the Heritage Foundation or wherever he works, I'd be like, hey, O'Brien, did you have a fucking nightmare for reading a book, you punk bitch? What happened? Like, come on, man. I would ride that guy every day about that shit. I'd be like, oh, how'd you sleep, Brian? Did you have another nightmare you need to call your mom about? Come on, you bitch. Like, that's ridiculous. That's hilarious. Oh, man. What a loser. So yeah, Liz Cheney, she garnered $1.7 million in the third quarter of her race. Her opponent only got $300,000.
Here's the other thing about that too. So when we see stories like this as Democrats, we see fundraising dollars, especially with the way things have gone in the last couple of years. We automatically equate that to like grassroots donations. You got to remember, these are Republicans. There's no grassroots money coming. coming to these people. This is all from corporations, and corporations right. will definitely take a safe bet over a fucking wild card any day of the week. You want predictability when you're in business,
right? I mean, look, if I'm a big corporate donors, I'm backing Liz Cheney 100%.
Yeah.
Look, Liz Cheney might not like Donald Trump, but Liz Cheney is a down-the-ballot, corporatist, piece-of-shit Republican.
It's not like she's voting with Democrats on fucking bills coming through, you know, for legislation. No. Like that was the big thing that, you know, everyone jerked off to Adam Kinzinger when he was, like, speaking vocally about Trump and all that stuff. But when, like, For the People Act comes through and all this other stuff the Democrats won't do, he's still voting Republican. Like, he's still voting no. Like, it's not like you're going to lose any votes. Like, you're just not putting a fucking psychopath in there. You know what I mean?
He's like, don't get it twisted, doing, dude. So. Like, no, I'm still here for the bullshit. I want to get paid. I just don't want that lunatic here. Right. Like, that's it. Next up, Florida's Surgeon General is a disaster.
This is a wild fucking story. I couldn't believe this shit. Yeah. When I was reading it.
Yeah. So
nuts.
So Ron DeSantis announced his appointment for Surgeon General, this guy Joseph Latipo. And this guy, you know, seemed like, you know, he's like, you know, long-term doctor, you know, medical professional. Everything seemed fine. Then this dude got in and people are like, "Oh, okay, I see."
If we learn nothing from Ben Carson, it's that just because you're a doctor doesn't mean you're smart. Mm-mm.
No, it does not.
And apparently now we have Joseph Latipo to educate us of this as well.
Or not, because he shouldn't be educating people on anything. He says that vaccines are nothing special. He has a very hands-off approach to COVID-19, just like DeSantis does. He says you can. There are effective ways of preventing COVID-19 transmission and other serious illnesses, such as, quote, losing weight, exercising, and eating more fruits and vegetables. No. That's not how you prevent it.
But wait, there's more. He apparently had a video pulled off of social media last year where he was promoting hydrochloroquine.
Hmm. Another anti-vax bullshit.
Yeah.
This guy's the Surgeon General for Florida.
That's awesome.
He's also in the Frontline Doctors, which is that horseshit group that actors.
Like the demon doctor?
Those people, yeah. Yeah. Well, first off, you have to get the devil's semen out of your face to stop you from getting COVID. That's how that works. And Trump's like, yeah, no,
well, it's sense. Thank goodness he's not going to be the Surgeon General in a state with a disproportionate amount of elderly population compared to the rest of their overall population statistics.
I mean, here's the thing, Brad. Those people got vaccinated. Like, those people were first in line. They were like, no. That's
a fair point. They've got those boosters already. They're like, yeah, hell yeah, they did. Get my booster.
Those old people were like, yo, we are not.
Give me two.
Yeah, look, double up. Let's go. Look, a lot of those old folks in those homes are, a lot of those folks are Jewish. A lot of Democratic voters down there. I'm just saying. So they were just like, no, nice try. This guy sucks. But yeah, this guy is legitimately a borderline anti-vaxxer Surgeon General for the state of Florida, which is crazy.
May I scare the shit out of you, yes, real quick?
Would Do he you be think, the Surgeon General if
yeah.
Ron DeSantis yes. got elected?
Yes, if he got elected president, would you think that he would just bring this dude with him? He's like, come on, yep, let's fucking probably. Go.
Yeah,
no, this guy's Surgeon General, baby.
Yeah, he's black. Fuck it. Who cares?
We got to get a black guy in the cabinet. Let's make it happen.
Yeah, yeah. Diversity. Yeah, I could see it. I could see it. Yeah, that's terrifying. You know, speaking of COVID, Mississippi just passed 10,000 COVID deaths. As Tate Reeves, live action Peter Griffin, is bragging simultaneously that Mississippi has a roaring economy now. Mississippi? What's roaring?
Based on what? And
I guess 10,000 less people getting in the fucking way.
How many of those folks were on government assistance? It is the Deep South after all. A lot of white people getting welfare checks down there. So,
yeah, a lot of poor white people, and a lot of poor black people dying. I'm not a fan of Tate Reeves. I'm not a fan of Ron DeSantis, and I'm now not a fan of this asshole who's the Surgeon General either. You're literally your job, or like when you became a doctor, you signed a Hippocratic Oath. To do no harm, and you're just like, I don't know. Why don't you?
Yeah, it would be very Hippocratic of him to fucking endorse vaccines he doesn't believe in. Jay, what a hypocrite!
He's like, that's what it is, right? Yeah, just say the opposite. just be a complete fucking hypocrite your entire career. He's like, yeah, I can do that. Got it.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised if he like. Was brought up in front of Congress. He's like, no, I signed the Hippocratic Oath. I know I'm supposed to be a hypocrite. That's what I'm doing. I get it. Do you guys not get it? Sorry, you didn't go to medical school. Like, I could totally see it. He's got some moron.
It is. I'm genuinely fearful that the unforeseen knock-on effect of having elected Donald Trump is we are going to get a lot of politicians who went to like the Trump school of politics, because DeSantis is obviously like the test case for this, right? Like he's obviously like the first one that's like basically saw that is like, let me just mimic this. And, mm-hmm. and is basically just running that playbook. And we're going to see more of that. You're going to see Republican governors in red states that get termed out. And the person that runs behind them is going to be that type of politician who just fucking does stuff for the headlines. You're seeing it in Ohio. Like you're seeing it in the Senate race right now where fucking JD Vance and that other Seth Mandel are competing to be who could be the most outwardly Trumpiest.
Right.
Essentially to win that nomination.
I'm very interested in that, right? Like do they think that's sustainable? Like do they honestly think that it's sustainable to
They don't care.
Like
they're not thinking that far in the future, Jay. It's a means to an end. Just to get them to the door. They're not thinking more. They're not thinking ahead of, oh, I got elected. And then once they're elected, what do I have to do to stay popular? It's not a long-term plan. It's literally day by day, week by week. Like it's pivoting and adjusting and tilting as the wind blows. There's no long-term goal. Do you think Trump had a long-term plan in place when he got into the White House? Absolutely not. He took the fucking temperature every day and basically is like, what do I have to do today to get headlines? What do I have to do today to get people to get my voters excited for me? He didn't have a strategy.
Yeah, you're not wrong about that.
And neither does Ron DeSantis.
No, that's clear. He has no strategy. Not a one. Next up. Nevada Republican Kirk Hartle, who claims someone stole his wife's, Nevada Republican Kirk Hartle says that someone stole his late wife's ballot and voted in the 2020 election. Now this was a real story about voter fraud. Happened in the great state of Nevada.
The state of Nevada.
The state of Nevada.
The state of Nevada. What's that?
Yeah. For people just listening for the first time, our other co-host, who hasn't been on in a while, is from Nevada. He lives there. Yes. That's what we're saying. We don't actually give a shit about Nevada because no one does. Come on, knock it off. So, from the state of Nevada, this guy is like, look, man, my wife died. She died of cancer, I believe. And he says, quote, that is pretty sickening to me, to be honest with you. Like, it's sickening to him that someone would do this. People on the right were like, look at this voter fraud. It's fucking everywhere. If there's one, there's 100. If there's 100, there's 1,000. Because remember, Nevada is where Trump called and was like, "Hey, I need you to find 11,000 more votes." Right? Like,
well, that was Georgia, but was Georgia? Nevada was one of the ones. Yeah, Nevada was one of the.
Oh
ones
no, that's right. He lost by
Yeah.
He lost by a pretty low percentage though in Nevada. Yes. I think it was less than 3% or something. Yeah, you're right. It was Georgia about that. But so you know, Nevada was one that they were challenging too, right? They wanted to challenge. And so they're like, look at this voter fraud. This is a clear cut case. There was like a video of Tucker Carlson, like, we try to make sure we get it right. And I'm like, no, you don't. But he's like, this is not a speculation. This is a fact. This is voter fraud. Da, da, da. Someone intercepted this and voted, you know, on behalf of this woman. Dinesh D'Souza. He's another one. I fucking hate that guy. He's another one that's like, look at this voter fraud. We got it. Ladies and gentlemen, we got him. Right? And it's like, all right, wow.
Mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished. Fucking throw the banner up. Here's the cod piece. Let's do this, right? All of that. And as I wrote in the docket, a blind man could have seen this one coming a mile away. Well, guess who just got fucking indicted for possible voter fraud? It was the husband, Kirk Hartle, because of course it was. Who did you think it was? Who did you think it was? You thought it was a rogue band of Antifa picking up ballots? No, it was the fucking husband.
That is what would have happened. Like, I'm genuinely surprised. Like the fucking mystery club, like, didn't have like some Antifa super soldier like tied up, like, after going through some elaborate like funhouse trap that they laid for him, and they're like, let's see who it really was. They pull off the mask. It's like, old man Kirk Hartle, we can't believe it was you.
I would have gotten away with it
if it wasn't for you pesky voters.
Like, ah, you ruined my theme park. Like, yeah, dude. Of course it was him. Like, I read the story, and I was like, it's going to be the husband, right? Like, it's obvious. One, it's like a murder, right? If the wife gets murdered, 9 times out of 10, yeah, it's the husband, right? Like
I feel like I've read this James Patterson book before. I don't,
right,
exactly. I don't
know. Right. Like, the thing was,
Dial V for voter fraud.
Perfect. But it's like, this guy's like, this is so sickening to me that somebody intercepted my wife's ballot. Well, that's weird. They intercepted your wife's ballot. How did they know that it was coming? Interesting. And they knew that your wife was dead? Interesting. And they knew that she wouldn't try to vote, thus like giving up the ghost of what's going on. Interesting. And who would know? Oh, it was Antifa, right? Like, they're just standing outside your ballot. They didn't take your ballot. They didn't take your ballot, too. They only took your dead wife's. Interesting. Yeah, it was you, dude. It was you. No shit. I don't, like, also, Republicans are like, aha. But doesn't this point to that you can't get away with voter fraud? Because they caught this shit, too.
Yeah.
Like, they caught it. Like, the point is, like, it's not that voter fraud never happens. It's that when it does, we catch it. They were like, oh, they mistakenly sent the ballot out. The point, and they were like, this person.
The point is actually that it happens in numbers that is not impactful to actual election.
Right. Right.
That's the actual point.
Well, or the other big point is, every single time there is voter fraud, a voter fraud case, it's a Republican.
Like, that too.
Every time. Every single time.
That's also a key point that somehow gets left out of all these conversations.
All of them. You know, it's like, dude, there was a woman during the 2020 election, there was a woman who grabbed a bunch of ballots in a nursing home. She took all these old people's ballots and she voted for them. Who she vote for? Donald Trump. She's a Republican. But we need to change all these, you know, voter laws and everything else because of all of this voter fraud. Stop doing voter fraud. You're the ones doing the voter fraud. It's not Democrats. Well, it's you.
But they have to. But again, and the reason why this guy did this, I have to presume, is so that he could then raise it as a point. So it says in the article here in the Washington Post that he is the CFO for a company whose owner is like a prominent Trump supporter.
Yeah, there you go.
Basically, the company hosted a Trump rally, and they were fined by the state for not adhering to COVID guidelines at the rally. Like that, like that's the kind of guy that works for this company. So he, like, I can absolutely see it in his head where he's like, I have to do this so that I can call attention to the voter fraud that's happening everywhere, and nothing will happen to me because I've somehow convinced myself that Antifa is doing that. As I punch myself in the face, I've somehow convinced myself that it's not my fist on the other side.
It's either it's the black fist of Antifa.
Either that, or this is some real like Tyler Durden shit going on with this guy. Basically, like he basically committed the voter fraud and just didn't realize that he was the one committing the voter fraud.
Maybe not.
And he's like, it's the same guy. Like Tyler Durden's Antifa, but I'm Tyler Durden. Oh my god! Like, how did this fucking happen?
Maybe he'll shoot himself in the neck.
Crazy
sense
of delusion. Like, what is going on here? Right now?
I'm sorry that you caught me in the middle of a bad week. such a great movie.
It is a great movie.
Yeah, I just love that. I was reading the story. I was like, yeah, it's the husband. Like, of course. Like, what the fuck? I can't believe. I'm sickened by this information. Are you? Are you? You know, I believe you. You doth protest too much. Like,
I will say, I am a little surprised that all these conservative voices that propped this case up when it was first brought last year are pretty silent now about the outcome.
I saw on Twitter people kept tagging Dinesh D'Souza. They're like, "What happened? What happened? What happened?" No response. Like, nah, you know. Yeah, no, you ran out there. You're like Mr. Badass, right? You ran out there and promoted that story. But when the reality hits, and that is conservatism to a fucking point, when reality hits and your shit gets proven, or rather, in this case, completely disproven, they don't want to address it. They don't want to talk about it. And then they'll just ignore it and say voter fraud is happening. All right, cool. Yeah, it is happening. It's you guys. Because you cannot win legitimately. Democrats don't need to do voter fraud, dude. We kick the shit out of you every time. I believe the last election we beat you by 7 million votes.
Like, yeah, but how many of those were fraudulent, Jay? At least 15, right? At least 15 million.
15 million, that's true.
Yeah, people coming across the border, punching ballots, like this out of the other thing.
Like
that's the other thing too. Like I need
That's a wild scenario. Just some dude in their mind wearing a sombrero comes in. Oh, I'd like to vote for Joe Biden. Oh, sure, it's fine. No idea.
If you're a conservative who believe that voter fraud exists to the extent that it's actually affecting elections, the first thing I need you to do is to explain to me how the voter rolls are made in the first place. Because if you can't even explain that, then you might just be a fucking idiot. And not sure. Well, you know, I'm giving them the out just in case they can't explain it.
That's fair.
Because again, like people just assume that like you can just walk up and be like, oh, I'm not in the voter rolls, but I can vote, right? Like, no, that's not at all how it works. Like, there are checks and processes in place to make sure that you are at least on the rolls. Like, it's one thing if someone, you know, snatches your mail-in ballot out of the fucking mail or something, but that's, you know, highly unlikely. But there are checks and balances in place to make sure that Johnny Moron is not just like fucking rolling. Like, I live here in Nevada. Why can we vote for Brett? Like, it's not how it works. It's not at all how
it
works.
It should work that way. It should, but it doesn't.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. I just love that. Yeah, it's the husband. Dude, it's like a murder mystery. Like, the worst murder mystery. Like, yeah, that dude fucking did it. Next up in This Week in Stupid. By the way, that was the first story in This Week in Stupid because that guy is an idiot.
Yeah.
And so is all of these people who promoted this bullshit. Lastly, Donald Trump Jr., sentient pond scum, not my headline, by the way, is selling tea. It's not, yo. This is from Variety. Like Variety was like, fuck that guy.
Oh, Donald Trump. This is Vanity Fair. This is Vanity Fair.
Oh, excuse me, Vanity Fair.
Credit where credit is due.
Yeah, Vanity Fair. I apologize. Yeah, no, they're brutal. Donald Trump Jr., sentient pond scum, is selling T-shirts mocking the fatal Alec Baldwin shooting. We're going to talk more about that shooting this week on the Nerdpocalypse. If you don't know about that show, I don't know how you can't if you're a premium member listening to this. that would be a bit weird. But yeah, we're going to talk about that in depth. So I don't want to talk about that part too much. But obviously, Alec Baldwin was given a gun on the set of his movie Rust that he was told was cold, basically, meaning no live ammunition in it. And it turns out that was not true. And he ended up killing the
cinematographer
and injuring the director. And so, yeah, Donald Trump Jr. is selling a shirt that says, let me actually read the part of the paragraph because they do it justice better than I could. Insider reports that the ex-president's son and namesake, who's been gunning to succeed his father's the biggest asshole on Twitter, is offering shirts on his website that read, quote, "Guns don't kill people. Alec Baldwin kills people." That is about as low class of a fucking situation as I've heard. And I think Alec Baldwin is a dickhead.
Yeah.
Like I do.
Well, Alec Baldwin is objectively a dickhead. Like he has a long story history of being a dickhead. But imagine being so amazingly thin-skinned, which is definitely a trait that he adopted from his dad, that just because a guy made fun of your dad on a popular television show, he has a tragedy that he's involved with. You know, Alec Baldwin, not a victim of this, but, you know, obviously a lot of, I'm sure he's pretty fucked up.
Yeah, he has to live with that. That's pretty
horrible. Like he inadvertently killed somebody. Like it wasn't his fault that the gun was loaded, but he's the one that pulled the trigger. So like it's you know, it's really fucking unfortunate. Imagine taking someone at their lowest point and not only putting this out, but putting it out for a profit. It's not like he's giving these shirts away. Right. Like he's selling them for $28 a pop.
Yeah, we're past the hour mark, so I can say this with the full faith of the entire network behind me, I'm sure. I'd like to punch this guy in the fucking mouth. Like, for real. For real. I think I could kick Don Jr.'s ass. Let me rephrase that. I know I could.
I was going to say, I know you could
kick Don know Jr.'s I could. Ass. Dude, I want to fight this guy so bad. It, you know, it makes my fucking blood boil. I hate this guy. I fucking hate him. He's prick.
I'm pretty sure that with one punch, you could knock the fucking Sharpie beard off his face. I'm fairly certain.
That guy's got a glass jaw, right? Like, look at it. Look. He's got nothing. He can't take a punch. He's never been punched in the face. It's never happened. How tall is Don Jr.? Because his dad already lies. Donald Trump is 6'3". No, he is not. Get the fuck out of here. Don Jr. is 6'1"? Nah, I could fight him. Nah, fuck that. Damn, Melania Trump is 5'11"? Melania Trump is taller than me? Fuck you, lady. I want to fight Don Jr. Like, I do. How much does Don Jr. weigh? Like, I want to know. Like, is he as big as I am?
Like 220.
No. No, 165. 165.
Oh, really?
Bring it on, little man. Yeah, I want to fight Don Jr. Like, for real.
Jay, he does deadlift, though.
Not well. It's the worst deadlift of all time. No, I want to fight them. I want to fight him.
And again, maybe we're the assholes for buying into this, because, again, this is very much like a trigger the libs kind of thing, and here we are talking about it on a fucking podcast. So, like, maybe totally Don triggered. Jr. wins after all. But like I said, if your brand is being a piece of shit, it's weird to like embrace being a piece of shit.
It's a bit weird.
Like I can't. I just don't get leaning into like, yeah, I know I'm a piece of shit. Look how much of a piece of shit I am. What a fucking asshole I am.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get, like, this is a real fucking tragedy, right? Like, okay, I get it. You don't like Alec Baldwin. Whatever. Like, that woman died.
Yeah.
Like, that woman died. You're like, ha, ha, ha. Like, that woman died, for real.
That's the whole thing, right? Like, it's, for him, for Trump Jr., it's not a human tragedy. It's just the woman that died is just a prop in the grift for him, essentially. Yep. Like, he doesn't give a fuck about her. Like you know how you could, like, I don't know, somehow turn this shit around is by, like, donating a proceed of the fucking profits from the shirt to, like, her family
but
you could at least make the gesture to at least appear like you're not just a fucking prick.
I don't get it. Like, I just don't understand being that type of guy. But you know what I do understand? Kicking that type of guy's ass. I want to fight Don Jr. Make it happen, UFC. Yeah, we fight in the octagon, man. Any rules? Rules? No, it would work in my favor. Holy shit. Let's make this happen. Let's for charity. For charity. I will fight Don Jr. for charity.
See, that's the problem, is that you're approaching this from the wrong standpoint. Like, doing stuff for charity, that's not something he's going to be interested in. It has to be like, look, if I win, money goes to charity. If you win, you get to keep the money. Because they're fucking broke, right?
So, oh,
like,
they need all the money they can get.
Yeah.
That's fine. I will put up my house against Don Jr. I would. Dude, give me like 6 weeks to train for that fight. I'm ready. I feel like I'd be ready. I would hurt him so, like, I would fight him right now. Like, if he came downstairs and was like, all right, Jay, when you're done with this podcast, we're gonna fight. I'd be like, that's cool, can we record it? Like, that I would just be like, let's do it right in that next room. Like, fucking, it's got padded floors, let's rock and roll. I hate that guy, dude. I hate that guy. Holy shit, he's the worst. But again,
who would be his corner man?
Like, Ben. Well, his dad is doing boxing announcing, so, like,
that's true.
Why not?
That's true. Here we are on 9/11. We're having a good time.
The 20th anniversary of 9/11. I guess I'll talk about boxing that I don't know jack shit about.
Guess I'll commentate on 65-year-old Evander Holyfield's boxing match.
Right. Like, good idea. Why? But you know what? I want a triple threat match. I think it should be me, you, Andy versus the Trump kids. I think that's fair. I think it's fair.
That's a 6-man tag, Jay. That's not a triple threat.
Excuse me. Get
your wrestling terminology correct. God damn it.
Some money in the bank. I don't know anymore. I don't.
I'm assuming like Ivanka's not gonna be the match. Like, she'll just be like Jared's manager. Like, it'll be Jared and the fucking two Trump boys.
Yeah. You gotta. Yeah, not Ivanka. If they win, they get to have sex with her because they're into that. So that's their issue. That's not our issue. That's theirs. It's Jared and the two Trump older kids. Like, I feel like you guys are fine. I feel like Andy has wanted to execute Jared Kushner for crimes against the country for years anyway. So I think he's got it. Andy is significantly larger than.
Well, see, that's the Jared reason why Kushner. They couldn't take the fight, right? Because like me and Andy are both, like, you know, like I weigh like 260 pounds. Like, Andy's probably around the same boat. Yeah. Like, we kick the shit out of those guys.
Yeah. No, and that's what I'm saying. Like, you guys, you got the outer ring. You dealing with them, and I just get to proceed to beat the brakes off of Don Jr. in the middle of the ring. That's all I want. Is it so much to ask? Look, if Christmas is coming, people, let's make this happen for the kids.
I feel like there'd be a long line that you'd have to wait in to beat the shit out of Don.
Oh, like, 100%.
I feel like that there's a ton of people that would love that. They're would, like, that dude, would love to take a crack at him.
Before. Some guy's like, yo, I've known him since high school. Fuck that guy. I'm first. I'd be like, you know what? You got it. It's fine. Who hates Donald Trump Jr. more than us?
I don't know. Here's my question for you. So where does Don Jr. rank in the nepotism success rankings? And what I mean by that, like, where does he rank in terms of the kids who are famous and have, like, sway based so little on their own accomplishments and just because of who their parents is? So, like, we can set up the initial pool for this.
Okay, it's got to, top brass has got to be Meghan McCain at this point.
Yes. Meghan McCain is a number one seed in this tournament.
She's a number one seed.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders is
But she's about to become governor. So that puts her top. That's an actual political position. Like, it's a real political
That's true. So we got Don Jr. Yeah, Meghan McCain, Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
I hate to put him in there. I think he's probably a decent guy, but I hate to put him in there. Luke Russert. God damn
true.
It.
That's true.
You should
that's
not
fair.
Have had that job. You shouldn't have had that job, yo. Your dad was a real journalist. Like, that's ridiculous. That shit pisses me off. It's maddening.
Oh, new upstart coming into the pool, Peter Ducey. Peter Ducey in this pool, 100%.
That's pretty good. however it works out, I'm going to need, at the end of the day, for Jen Psaki to come out and just shit on that guy. Like, just have him say something so she can be like, Peter, you're an idiot. Go sit down. That's all.
I just want her to be like, Peter, like, do you enjoy being humiliated on a daily basis? Like, she's like, is this some, like, weird kink for you? Like, didn't you just have a baby?
But,
like, aren't you married?
But I think it might be. I think it might be for him.
I think you're right.
He's like, I really like Jen Psaki, and I hope she, maybe she'll hang out with me.
We'll have to reach out. Like I'm asking the listeners now. Like, I need you guys to help us develop the ultimate, like, nepotism bracket so that we can actually figure out who is truly the most nepotistic child in the politics game today.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day it comes down to Meghan McCain and Sarah Huckabee Sanders. I think, like,
that's a tough 1-2 punch to overcome. Yeah.
If Sarah Huckabee Sanders wins governor of Arkansas, nah, that's a wrap. She's that's top. You can't, like, you're running a whole state, like, based on, like my dad said something, you know, like, that's crazy. And your dad sucks. He fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Ugh, the worst. All right. I think that's it. I don't think I have anything else.
Yeah. No, I think it was jam packed. A good episode, like I said, a good per capita story ratio there. You guys got some laughs. Good. It was a relatively good time, all things considered.
Yep, absolutely. All right, that's it for us, and we will see you guys next week for another episode.
See ya.
Okay, that's the end of the free portion for this week's episode of Look Forward. Make sure you go to lookforwardshow.com/premium. Sign up for premium content. It's only $5 a month or $50 for the full year. You'll get the entire episode of this show every week. Normally it's about 2 to 2.5 hours, but you're only getting the first hour right now for free. So make sure you sign up. You also get the other premium shows in the TNP Studios network, like The Airing of Grievances, which is our Seinfeld podcast, No Time to Bleed, which is our action movie podcast, and of course, The Men with the Golden Tongues, which is our spy James Bond movie podcast. So check all those things out. Again, it's $5 a month or $50 for the full year. It's a pretty great deal, costs less than a cup of coffee, and we will see you guys next time. We'll be right back.